Hello, and welcome to Mental Health Matters with me, Tay, a new show at Leeds Student Radio which aims to bring awareness and understanding to those suffering from mental health and their supporters. Today's show is all about how to help a friend struggling with mental illness. One in four people, that's 1,750,000 people, will have some kind of mental health problem in their lives, meaning there is an overwhelming probability that you know someone struggling, whether you are aware of the problem or not. However, because of the lack of understanding and compassion that surrounds mental illness, 75% of sufferers do not feel supported. These are shocking statistics, and hopefully this show will help us all understand how we can better support sufferers while still taking care of ourselves. To help me with this task, we have the wonderful Katie Morton, who has joined me on the show today. Hi. So, Katie, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself? You know, your job, what do you do day to day?
Okay. My name is Katie Morton. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. And I actually don't know if you have that exact same thing in the UK, but it just means I'm a, like, how does that make you feel therapist? And I have a private practice in Santa Monica, California, and I put out videos on YouTube all about mental health. So any kind of question you have, depression, self-harm, eating disorders, anxiety, I talk about it all.
Watch your videos and I find them really helpful, really informative, just really clear and concise. So let's get started with the questions. What would you say are the warning signs of someone with mental health issues?
I think it kind of depends on, as bad as it sounds to say, but whether you're a girl or a guy, because girls tend to be more in tune with their friends a little bit, and that's not to say guys can't either, but I think something that, I mean, even personally, that I've noticed when my friends are going through a hard time is they withdraw. Like, they won't come out, they make plans and they cancel them, they're kind of flaky and they isolate.
Yeah.
And that's usually a sign. It doesn't mean necessarily something terrible is going on, but I think it's a good time as a friend or someone who notices this to reach out to them and just check in.
And say if you do kind of notice some of those signs, maybe your friend's a bit quiet, something like that, how should you approach a friend? You know, you want to be understanding, but you don't want to be pushy. What would you say?
I think a lot of it is just giving them a chance to tell you without, like, hounding them.
Yeah.
So I think if you, like, for instance, if I was to ask one of my good friends about that, I would say something to the effect of, like, hey, I've noticed you haven't been coming out as often, or you haven't been returning my calls. Is everything okay? I'm here if you want to talk. And you just remind them that you're there.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much it. So I always tell people, don't keep asking them over and over, like, is everything okay? Are you sure it's okay? Because I even get annoyed with that.
Yeah. Definitely.
So I think that it can help to just periodically, like, let's say once a week, you call them to check in, or you pop by, or you text them and just say, hey, just want to check in, see how your week went. If you want to chat, I'm here.
But what would you say, and I know I've struggled with this, when my friend obviously kind of has a serious problem, for example, I've seen their arms and they've got self-harm marks on them, or they're kind of like, I've noticed that they're not eating at any meals, and you try to talk to them about it and you know it's a serious problem that needs to be faced and maybe even life-threatening. What would you say to do in that kind of situation?
It depends on how serious, I guess. First, you have to assess whether, because self-harm, unlike what a lot of people think, is not always a suicide attempt.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes you can notice that they have cuts, but that doesn't mean they're trying to kill themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that you could even say, depends on how close of a friend this is, but I've heard from a lot of my viewers, they were thankful that someone was kind of pushy. And so you could say something to the effect of, like, hey, I've noticed more cuts on your arm, and I know that usually, you know, that means that things are hard for you. Is there anything we can do? You know, I think it's important that you talk to someone.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be more direct. I've even had some viewers, I put out a video, it's probably been like a year now, I don't know, it all lumps together. But specifically this one girl wrote a long comment where she said, I had a friend who told the school counselor and made an appointment for me and tricked me into coming, like told her she was going somewhere else, doing something else. And she's like, and I was so mad at her for like a month.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't talk to her. I was so pissed off. She made me go, you know, God damn it. I wasn't ready to talk to anybody. And she goes, but she saved my life. And I'm so thankful to her. And I've let her know. And she's like, I know people may disagree, but people in the comments were like, no, someone telling them, you know, getting me the help or telling my parents, I might be pissed in a moment, but long term, I'm so grateful. And so I think it depends on, it's up to you as the friend to know how serious is serious.
Yeah.
Like, if you're really worried, I'm sorry, but I would chance losing a friend myself and potentially saving their life or getting the help they need
Yeah.
versus sitting in the shadows and being like, oh, I can't say anything. It's so scary and I don't
Yeah.
want to push them too far, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think that was a great thing that you said about maybe calling their parents, because, you know, if you're good friends, then you probably will have had some contact with their parents. Because
Exactly.
I think it's hard at university when you don't have that support system that you have at school, where, you know, you could go and talk to their film tutor or something like that. But at university, there's no one kind of like who really has that consistent one-on-one personal relationship with them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think calling their parents would be a great idea.
Yeah.
So what are the main things you could do to support a friend who's suffering from mental health problems, would you say?
Obviously first, and I just have to say this and you're gonna laugh because you've been watching my videos forever, but is take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Before we can take care of anybody else, we have to be taking care of ourselves. I was just writing a blog post for this anxiety website, and I was like, think of your mental health and your own self-care as like a bank account, and you have to deposit into it if you're going to take it out.
Yeah.
And so first, take care of yourself, make sure you're doing things to make sure you're doing well, and then just be there, be consistent. I
Yeah.
think a lot of people who struggle feel like nobody's there regularly.
Yeah.
And nobody's, you know, someone you can reach out to no matter what. And I think making it known that you're there and you're available and all that stuff, I think that that is really what would benefit them the most.
Yeah, for sure. And is there any kind of like things that you should really not say to someone who's got a mental health problem? Obviously, it kind of depends on the problem. But are there kind of any general guidelines that you should probably avoid talking about or saying?
Just get over it, or why can't you insert thing they're struggling with? Like, why can't you just get through class without having a panic attack? Why can't you just eat? Why can't
Yeah.
you just stop doing blank? I think being too pushy and expecting certain things at certain times is where we run into trouble,
Yeah.
because everybody's process is different. It's going to take people a different amount of time depending on what the issue is, you know, not even
Yeah.
just what the mental health issue is, but like what purpose is it serving? What happened to them? Did something happen? You
Yeah.
know, do they have support or professional help at all? All those things are factors into how long it's going to take them to maybe A, recognize they have a problem, and B, start recovering from it.
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
just
definitely.
being patient. Don't, no rushing. Don't tell
Yeah.
them to hurry.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of on the other end of the spectrum, and I know that this is something that I really, really struggle with, when someone comes to me with support for a mental health problem, I want to help them, but at the same time, I don't want to say the wrong thing. What would you say to someone who kind of came to you with that problem?
I'd say as long as it comes from a place of care and love, you're not going to say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we can have flubs where we might not understand the situation, but we can always come from a place, like even with my viewers, I always try to come from a place of like, I don't personally struggle with this, so explain to me your experience. And I think as a friend, you could do that too. You could say, you know, I don't maybe don't understand what you're going through. Do you mind explaining to me what you've been feeling lately? Because I'd
Yeah.
love to be a support. Or I know you've reached out to me. What's really going on? You know, just seek understanding first, because I don't think you can say the wrong thing as long as you're doing it with care. People say the wrong thing when they come at it like a kind of like we talked about just the last question, like hurry up or what the hell's wrong with you
Yeah.
or blah, 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 you know, and as long as we're not coming from like a aggressive standpoint or like without any actual love behind the question,
Yeah.
I think you're going to be fine. I think a lot of people worry that you're going to make it worse or like, oh, and one of the biggest misconceptions, and this is important, so if anybody wasn't listening until now, listen, if somebody ever is acting suicidal, has thoughts about it, or has expressed something that you think, oh, maybe I think they maybe attempted suicide,
Yeah.
by asking them and talking about it is not going to make it worse.
Okay. Yeah, I
We have
think.
tons of research about that. Trust me, even
Okay.
as a therapist at the beginning when I first started, I was nervous to be like, so how many times have you attempted suicide? Have you had thoughts about that before? Like, you have to ask all these questions, and you're like, holy shit, what if it makes it worse? And it doesn't, it makes
Yeah.
it better. So just know that it only helps them to talk about it, to feel like they have someone they can just be honest with.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is also something which I've struggled with is if you know someone but you're not that good friends with them. So for example, you kind of see them sitting in a lecture sometimes, you say hi, you're on a name first name basis, but apart from that there's no real connection, and you notice signs of mental illness but you don't want to approach them because you don't feel like you know them well enough. What would you say to do?
Honestly, I probably wouldn't approach them. Mm-hmm. If you don't think they have another friend or someone, then you could try.
Yeah.
But I think it's all relationship based.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a class with them and you know that they like talk with the teacher or you see their other friend or something, if there's another way for you to check in about it,
yeah,
you can go that route. But I wouldn't come up to them, because we all know like any kind of personal thing, like a mental health issue or anything like that, can feel really, really personal. And if the person isn't already close to us, we're not going to want to talk to them about it. And it can actually, you know, push them away from us. So we don't have any chance of knowing what's going on or getting them any help. So I would try to, if you're really concerned, if you see like really deep cuts on their arm or something, you're really worried that maybe they're getting infected or they're just getting worse than every day I see them, you know, then you could tell a teacher or the school counselor or whatever.
Yeah.
And they could approach them and just talk to them, because then it's like, it sounds weird, but when it comes from like a place of, I don't know, like not hierarchy, but like teachers and stuff are kind of like quote unquote caretakers in a way. And it's more appropriate for them to approach the person than for us as people who don't know them.
Yeah. Also, if you approach someone and you're good friends and you approach someone about their mental illness, that, you know, they haven't come up to you, and they kind of like freak out and completely push you away, what would you say to do?
If that's the stance that they're going to take, that really just means they're not ready to admit it or to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I think as a friend, if it's not like a life-threatening thing, if you don't feel like it's worth escalating to the next level, then I would just, I would respect that.
Okay.
And I would actually be honest. Like, the best thing we can do as humans in general is communicate as clearly as we can. And so if that was the case, then next time you see them, you can be like, I know I maybe overstepped boundaries with you last time. I noticed you, you know, weren't comfortable, and know that it won't happen again, but I'm here if you want to talk. So you just kind of let them know like, hey, I understand that was too much and you don't, you're not ready, but I'm here if you ever change your mind.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good thing to do. Now, what would you say to someone who's supporting a friend, but they feel overwhelmed and they feel like it's too much and it's too big of a problem?
Get them to see someone.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're kind of like the blind leading the blind. We want to help everybody. It's a friend, right? So we want to hear them out, want to listen, and want to be supportive. But it's kind of like what I talked about at the beginning, where we have to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And usually if we're feeling like it's either A, over our head, or B, it's just way too much for us, and we just feel like overwhelmed by it, that means that we aren't in a place to actually care for them.
Yeah.
And it's okay to say to a friend like, hey, I think this is way over my head. Like, why don't we look into you seeing a school counselor or a therapist or something? You know, I know that you're in the UK, so like making an appointment with your GP so we can get you a referral or something like that.
Yeah. But, and talking about self-care, which I know you think this as well, but I think is something that you should do every single day, even if you're not helping a friend from mental illness or even if you're not struggling from mental illness. Mm-hmm. What kind of ideas do you have for someone who hears the term self-care and goes, what does that mean?
And it's something that I think it's maybe like a mental health professional word.
Yeah.
Like, not everybody uses the term self-care. But I think to explain it to someone who doesn't know, it's kind of just things that we do, and maybe you do them without even noticing, that help make you feel better. That could be as much as I shower every day, or I call my best friend and chat with them, or I, you know, go and grab a coffee sometimes because that's like a treat for myself. Like, it can be really simple things that we do, but all of those things are things that help us better function in our daily life.
Yeah.
So, you know, even for me, it could be as simple as like, I forget things if I don't write them down. Like, oh, I got a new planner and I put all my stuff that I need to do this week in it. And that doesn't even sound like it's actually like happy, good for me, but it ends up making my life better and I feel better about it. And so I think it could be any number of things depending. Like, I know a lot of my male clients are like, but that's a girl thing. Like, I don't do that because I'm a guy. But you do. Like, if you go to the gym, if that's your jam, then that's a way to take care of yourself. That's self-care. If you go out with your buddies and grab a beer or whatever, that's self-care too. Like, all of the things that you do that make you feel good and you have a good time, like, those are all things that are feeding into that healthy part of you that makes you feel uniquely you.
Yeah. Yeah. And what would you say if you kind of want to support a friend, but by supporting them, certain things that they say trigger aspects of your own mental health issues, and kind of unintentionally, obviously, they kind of make you feel worse and or make you want to kind of practice behaviors?
I get that one a lot on my channel. I think, to be truthful, it goes back to kind of taking care of yourself first. Yeah. And so you may not be able to support that person because it's too close to home. You know, it's too personal for you that you actually really can't be there for them.
Yeah.
And so what I usually encourage people to do is to, A, get yourself your own treatment team or whatever, you know, start looking in therapy or something so that you can better manage your symptoms, and B, have an honest conversation with them about what's going on with you so that they don't feel like you just left or you're just hard to get a hold of. And you can just say, you know, I'm having a really hard time myself, and some of the stuff that you're going through is very similar to mine. Mm. And so until I feel better about it, you know, maybe we should not talk about it together, and let's get you some help and me some help, and let's, you know, find someone who can, who does it for a living.
Yeah. would, if kind of like, if you still wanted to be there for them, do you think it would be okay to say to them, look, I still want to support you, but for example, if you both suffer from eating disorders, when you talk about specific calorie information, I find it really triggering. Do you think that would be okay? Or do you think it's best to just kind of like block off the subject entirely with them?
I think it's fair to say that, as long as you think that they'd be able to hear it.
Yeah.
Because some people get really like offended/eating disorders can be extremely, that example, I guess, eating disorders can be really competitive.
Yeah.
And really aggressive sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I would trust, you know, whoever's wondering this or contemplating this lately, consider the situation and the person, but I think that's completely fine. And I think that's best if you want to still be there, if it's a really close friend of yours, you can just stray from certain conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Now, what are the resources that are available on your channel and your website, which is amazing, by the way, katiemorton.com, for anyone who wants to check it out. I really recommend it. What resources are on there for people who are suffering from mental health and for their supporters?
I'm glad you like it. There will be some new things coming, so stay tuned.
Amazing.
I'm always working on it to make it better. But the main thing that people I know like is the chat. And there's a chat feature where, so that if you're, let's say you're really having a hard time and it's in the middle of the night where you are, because we're worldwide, there's always someone on. So that's the nice thing if you just need a little extra support, or like you can do it, or depending on what your issue is, you know, you can get on there and get some support. There's also a whole page if you are feeling suicidal. Obviously, my website isn't made to prevent that, but there is a whole site or a whole page on there of resources and the resource tab, and it has all sorts of hotlines no matter where you live that are available. I also have free workbooks for those of you who may be struggling with self-harm. I have a workbook for that, and eating disorders, I have a workbook for that, and I will have an LGBT workbook coming out in a week or two.
Oh, so exciting. I can't wait to read all of them. Now, I'm afraid that's it for the questions, but for those of you who don't know, in Katie's amazing videos, at the end of each one, she does a journal topic, which I think are really, really interesting, even if you don't suffer from mental health issues. So I was wondering, Katie, if you could give us a journal topic and explain a bit about what a journal topic is today.
Yeah, of course. Journal topics are, I always encourage all of my viewers and all the members of our community to journal as a way to express what's going on and kind of get it out.
Yeah.
So it's not just stuck in your head all the time. But a lot of people have trouble with journaling and getting started because they feel like, I don't even know what to write or what to do. And so I give kind of little, it could be a quote, it could be a little prompt or something that I've been thinking about. And so the funny thing is when you asked me if I could do a journal topic, I just went to, there's a yoga class that is only happens once a week, and I don't always get to make it to it. But yesterday was my birthday, and so I had pretty much the day off.
Yeah.
And so I went to it because it's always on Tuesdays. And the teacher, so this will be the journal topic, and the teacher was saying, like, We're in down dog. For any of you who don't know, yoga is just like on your hands and feet, but you're kind of in an upside down V.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, you don't need to strain in this pose. You should be relaxing. Why do we always push ourselves to look or feel a certain way? He's like, your body is always going to be very different from everyone else in this room. No one is the same. And he's like, I wonder if we stopped pushing ourselves and pulling ourselves and punching ourselves into submission to look or to feel the way we feel we have to feel. He's like, I wonder how much better we'd be. And it really got me thinking, because a lot of times I think we expect to look a certain way or act a certain way or take a certain path in life. Like, I know a lot of people are like, I've got to do this, this, this. And then I get married, I have kids or I whatever, you know, it's like we always have these expectations. And what if we didn't have expectations? We just went along with what our true self wanted. Like, oh, I really would like to study blank.
Yeah.
Other than my parents telling me I need to be a lawyer or whatever. Yeah, so I really like that. Like, stop pulling and prodding and forcing yourself to look or feel the way you think you're supposed to look or feel, because we're all unique and that's what makes the world so great.
Okay, Katie, thank you so much for being here. You've been absolutely incredible.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, please do check out Katie's website at katiemorton.com or search for on YouTube. But I'm afraid that's it for me for today. We are out of time. I do hope you've enjoyed this show and hopefully learned something about how you can support a friend from mental illness, or maybe even if you are struggling, how you can reach out in a more productive manner. Thank you so much for listening, and please do tune in next week when I will be discussing schizophrenia with the lovely Johnny Benjamin, star of the heartwarming Channel 4 documentary Find Mike. He's also done a BBC documentary, and he's on YouTube for anyone who wants to check him out beforehand. Next week we have a travel documentary called Come Travel With Us, so do stay tuned for that. Goodbye.